coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they will make you laugh instead of cry. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, they will make you cry instead of laugh. That's what the Goofy News does. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because laughing or crying doesn't matter as long as we get one step closer to Jesus. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy running.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience Local, National and Heavenly Talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. See, we're just like everybody else. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we just don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy. Oh, this is a tough one right here. Let's just be honest. Who do we need to forgive? Who are we still a little bit bitter with? Ooh. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That is sad. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that effort and you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like remembering your friend's birthday just in the nick of time.
That's pretty good.
It's like, oh yeah, it's his birthday. Oh yeah, that's what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. Here is another way that you can get in touch with us. You can call us at that number. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Now, out of left field,
214-210-8483.
So you can do that way too. It's all right. No,
it's like really smooth. Not like as deep, smooth, but just really.
Yeah. Anyway, you can also email us, david@hemusincrease.org. That's David. That's my name. That's what they named me at birth. No, it wasn't after a king. That is for sure. Not with my folks. Anyway, david@hemusincrease.org. He must increase, coming from John 3:30. We also want to send you up to the website. A couple things to let you know there. We did, by the way, forget, and we're just kind of bringing it in now, for August Buddies. Now, August Buddies, what is that? What is an August Buddy thing? It's like you hear somebody on this radio show, you hear somebody that you don't normally pray for coming into your universe, be it radio, be it somewhere that you're hearing from church, from people you hang out with, and you take that person on and you pray for them for just a couple of moments every day through the rest of the month. So we're asking you to still step up to the plate and do August Buddies. That's really important. We're a little behind in that, but we still ask you to step up to the plate for that. Additionally, on the website, there are interviews with different people that we've done. Plus, there are videos and audios to encourage you in your faith. Additionally, there's a red square on most of the pages, or at least something outlined in red, and that says donate. It's 100% tax deductible, and it's important for us to receive that because that's what enables us to keep advancing. So now we're in two states, and we want to see how well this goes, and we want to go into three states and four states and five states. Oh, my. So you never know, right?
Oh, now, David, don't make me start smiling with that. Yeah, hallelujah.
So we just want to just keep moving it forward, and it's not like, oh, now Dave's got like five, eight, ten cities. He's got a jet. No.
That's not what I see when I pulled into the parking lot.
Yeah, you didn't see my Cessna in there? Okay. You didn't see my 40,000-mile used car that I bought that you can't get a good rate on because it's used? Hello.
I did see that.
All right. So anyway, we want you to give, and we will promise you we're going to give you something in return, but it's not a prize. It's just a receipt for your giving. But if you want to help us advance the kingdom of God, that would be great. If not, pray for us. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
There you go. You got people have to love that. If you know that song, you know what? You know what's going on right there. We're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the teaching. What I want to pray for is people really struggling emotionally, just having some super hard internal feeling, emotional kind of moments that are just, you know, overwhelming from time to time. We're going to kind of get into that in the text, which is somewhat ironic. But let's do it. Let's bring it before the Lord. Let's offer our prayers and offer it in humility and submission, but with rejoicing and with confidence in his faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we just appreciate you. You are awesome to us. You do great things for us. We don't even know. It's beyond us because you do so many things for us. We don't even see them all. We don't even understand them all. And we know in our audience, in the people that we're connected to, there's some emotional pain, Lord. There's some people that have been stabbed in the heart, and it hurts. Or there's some people that have had their hearts broken and torn a bit. And there's people that have just, you know, either from being raised, being in relationship, just being in engagement with other people, or even the way that we sometimes think about ourselves and just really reduce ourselves to something less than you declare us to be. Lord, we're asking you to heal those deep wounds that people have on the inside. I don't even know what they are for people, but you do. You know what they are, and we ask you to put your healing balm upon them. The people that have those tears and those cuts inside of them, that you would put your healing balm over them, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would heal them. And through the name of Jesus Christ, you would refresh them, strengthen them, and put joy in their hearts and minds. We lift them up before you. We just believe that you are that gracious. We ask you to heal us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, that's how we roll. We're going to get into the Psalms. I do want to let people know, for those who have never tuned in before, I have quite the background. I'll just make it really fast. Born and raised Jewish, became a Christian. Went on and got a Baptist Pentecostal Charismatic ordination and a BA and a master's and a doctorate degree in something. I don't know. They call me Dr. Dave, but I have no patience, so I don't know. I just don't know. Here's what I do know. Psalm 38, verse 1. This is super fascinating. I love this. David says in Psalm 38, verse 1, "Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down." Whoa. So here's David. This is a psalm of David. We begin this, and it helps us understand the psalm is geared about reflecting a time of chastening from the Lord. If you think the Lord doesn't chasten you, you have a bigger problem, because Hebrews chapter 12 makes it clear that if you're not disciplined and chastened by the Lord, you're not his. So if you're just thinking, that never happens to me, not a good sign, okay? Well, you want to just go into Hebrews chapter 12, read the whole thing, you'll be like going, uh-oh. Because the idea in this is that the Lord does discipline us. He's our Father. And a loving Father disciplines for the benefit of the child. And that's how God disciplines us. We think of God disciplining us in all these, you know, weird imagery connections to authority figures and whatever the case may be. And the answer is wrong. That's just wrong. God disciplines us for our well-being. In fact, that's specifically stated in Hebrews chapter 12. So I want to make sure that we get this, and I want you to understand that when you're being disciplined by the Lord, that doesn't mean you're not saved. In fact, it means the exact opposite. The fact that you are disciplined by the Lord means that you're His. It's proof of your being a child of the Most High God. And so we begin with Psalm 38, understanding it's a psalm. And a song, remember, a psalm is a song. It's very important to know that, right? This is a song, a worshipful song. And it's reflecting a time of chastening. It's important to remember the Lord does it, but He demonstrates that to say, I'm your dad. David initiates the psalm with a prayer that I frequently ask the Lord. Now, you might think, oh, no, I do this on a regular basis. He says, do not rebuke me in your wrath or chasten me in your hot displeasure. I just say to the Lord, I'd have no problem with it. When I do something wrong and I know I did something wrong, I did something wrong last night, so I get into prayer and I go, okay, before we go through any routines, I just tell the Lord that before I go through my list, before I go through, you know, because I use a model, just like Jesus said, pray in this way, and I do a model, although it's subject to change at the moment, but I'm just saying, I go through the model and I said, before we go into any of that, I'm really sorry. And then I just said, this is what I said to the Lord, I said, don't be mad. I'm sorry. It was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. I'm just being honest. And it's like, that's how honest you got to be with the Lord. It's like, yeah, okay, don't chasten me in your hot displeasure, which is a nice way of saying, okay, you know I'm an idiot, so don't chasten me in my brilliance of my idiocy. That's what you're saying.
Don't spank me while you're angry.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know what? I'll tell you what, Lord. Your sunsets and sunrises are so beautiful. Take a look at those for a few minutes and then come back and let's talk about it. In other words, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing weird about that. David does that exact thing. He says, don't rebuke me in your wrath. Don't chase me in your hot displeasure. He's like, I'm going to get it. But you know what? I'd like you to take a walk around the universe. Come back and then let's talk about it. In other words, and it's not to get away from it. It's not to do anything but to say, look, I know I did wrong. I'm before you. I'm trying to make it right. Please don't be mad at me as I seek to walk with you in a way that will please you. And I recognize, and this is important for you and for me, we recognize when we do something wrong. Do you understand that non-believers don't? I just want you to get this. Non-believers don't connect to that. The fact that you connect to that is that it's right on the wall. Testimony from the Lord.
That's a big point, Dave, because I was dealing with something, you know, repenting for one of my sins, and I said, God, the fact that it bothers me is a good sign.
If it doesn't bother you, there's a much bigger issue. That's what I want you guys to get. There's a much bigger problem, okay? So today we're going to do it a little different. We're not going to break. We're just going to see what happens. So, because I want to go through this. I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss that we ought, and we'll still do trivia, but I want you to catch this, that we need that honest engagement with the Lord. You cannot live your Christian life with some kind of religiosity or with churchianity. You cannot do that. It is not legit. Christianity is a living relationship with a living God. That means that the relationship that you have with God is living. It's not something that's rule-oriented. It's not something – my relationship with my wife, I can promise you there are days where we have similar things that happen, and then there are probably 9 trillion other days where we do not have similar things happen. So it's like it's a relationship. You do these different things. This happens. This happens. Sometimes she gets caught up at work. You know, I'm kind of used to it, but now she's – the way we engage, it's always different. It's alive. And it should be alive. And our relationships with one another should be alive. You should not have a Christian relationship with everybody at your church where the only words you guys communicate to one another are fine. The standard Christian answer to everything. How you doing? Fine. How's it going? Fine. How's your job? Fine. How's your wife? Fine.
That lacks a little depth.
Yeah. So here's the thing about that. So people would say fine after they've lost their house, they lost their car, they lost their wife, they lost their job. It's a kind of a standard. You know what? First of all, if you're going to take the time to ask, then be willing to listen. Don't be socially cordial like the world, which means nothing. And second, if somebody's going to ask you, tell the truth. And that's a big part of this engagement. So what I want you to see is how this is connects together. Look at this next verse. And then we'll do our trivia, because look at this next verse. He says, "Oh Lord, don't rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows have pierced me deeply, and your hand presses me down." So you think, wait a minute, what does that mean? The arrows pierce me deeply. That means that there's this element where the Lord kind of strikes into us his arrows of wrong. It's the arrow that gets inside you and goes, that was wrong. You just know it. And you're just like, ooh. And it's the Holy Spirit, but the imagery is so fantastic, right?
You just can't run from it.
Ding, ouch. Okay, that hurt. Oh, yeah, I was wrong about it. So I'll give you this definition of the press down, then we'll do our trivia question. But listen to this. He says, "For your arrows pierced me deeply, ouch, and your hand pressed me down." I've shared it before. I'll share it again. So I had this dream. It wasn't me. Your hand pressed me down. So I had this dream with the Lord, and this is in my younger part of my Christianity. We're still getting to understand church. Remember, four Jewish boys from Detroit all became Christians within 30 days of one another, all in Phoenix, Arizona. Which is like, you just can't. I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? So that in this dream I have, there's my brother, and he's on a kind of like an older kind of house, and he's in a rocking chair, and I get towards him, and we start to wrestle, okay? Now, this is my brother. I'm very close to my brother. I love my brother, and I want you to understand something. The dream related to this wrestling wasn't like a fierce competition. It was more like a fun wrestling match with like a little bit of enjoyment versus a ferociousness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like wrestling. Ah, ah. And like, so I'm winning, right? I'm winning. Because Billy's been really close. I mean, I'm winning, and I got him. And all of a sudden, I'm getting pushed down from behind me. I mean, pushed down. I mean, you know, if you're wrestling with somebody, somebody's pushing you to the ground, you know. And pushing and pushing. And all that I could hear was it saying, submit. Then I'm like, no. So I'm wrestling. I'm like, no, I'm not going to submit. And then the hand keeps pushing me down and pushing. Submit. No, I'm not going to submit. Right? So until my face is in the ground past Billy, and then the submit. And I go, okay, fine, okay. And then in my dream, I turn around to look behind me, and nobody's there. And I knew immediately in the dream that was the Lord. And then you look at that verse and it goes, and your hand presses me down. Like, yes, sir. Right? All right. We're just not going to take a break. We're going to do our trivia question. But just think about that. It's just like, wow, is that amazing stuff, right? All right. Here we go. Isn't that cool? That's just, you like
that is cool, Dave.
It's like, yeah. It's like, that's your hand presses me down. Oh, like that? Oh, that's like that. All right. Here you go. Who was Esther's uncle? Not cousin. Who was Esther's uncle?
That's a pretty good easy one, Dave.
Yeah, well, we want to get it rolling. Who was Esther's uncle? Okay, not the show Man from Uncle. Who was Esther's uncle? If you think you know the answer, you can call us. You can do that. By the way, you can do that if you're in San Diego live. We're live right now. You can call us right now. 972-445-0770. If you know who Esther's uncle was. You can also text us. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can even email us live right now, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. So it doesn't matter whether you're in San Diego, it doesn't matter whether you're in Dallas or the Fort Worth area or Irving or wherever, just give us a reach out. And we will we'll give the answer if nobody calls in. But if you do want to call in, 972-445-0770. Plus, you can text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org.
I have to say this, Dave. We get our first call from California, if and when. That's going to be pretty fun, Dave. I just have to put it out there.
I mean, the truth is, we're not, you know, I'm way patient, you know. I'm really... I did the show in San Diego. I didn't get callers for like the first 3 months. Till they thought, is he weird or what? Like, yes, I am. Thank you. All right,
just a little.
All right, so let's go back to this text. I don't want to miss this kind of cool like thing that we're in, because this is kind of like a cool thing, right? So David's saying this, and then he goes into verse 3, right? So he keeps going. We added the verses. So, Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. Just like that dream I was sharing. It's like, I know that's crazy. And it says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head.
Wow.
Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. Okay. So we'll take the caller, have them answer the trivia, and then we'll go right back to the steps. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello? You there? Hello? Okay. We lost that one. Okay. Well, we'll figure it out.
It was one of our usual callers, but as I picked up, he said the air conditioner man there, so maybe he took care of
that. Yeah, you got to take care of that. There's no question about that. All right, so let's go back to the test. So I just want you to catch this. This is David trying to kind of lay it out. He's like, look, there's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. Ow! For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. David proceeds to express he doesn't feel a sense of soundness in his flesh or in his health. Now watch. He can sense that something is amiss in his bones. That's so good. It's like, what? It's like he knows, I got something going on here. There's a feeling of uneasiness indicating an imbalance in his inner being and his connection to the king. So it's important to note that this is not the same feeling as being uncomfortable on the earth, because that's just us going, we don't belong here. That's not what this is. This refers to the discomfort of knowing that we are temples of the Holy Spirit and we're doing something wrong.
Dave,
I know this stuff. So you get it. It's like so deep.
It's
like,
so good because it's needed. It's easy to talk about the blessings, but when you know you've sinned, you know that it resonates because it's so real.
You know, if you feel, you know, this is a great way to say it. If you feel it on the inside, you know, oh Lord, right? So who among us can't relate to this last statement there? I like this, and we've only got so much time, but I want to make sure I get it. But he goes, my iniquities have gone over my head. It's like they have risen out of control. They're out of control. They're too heavy for me. It's like David acknowledges the weight of his sin is too burdensome for him to handle alone. He desperately needs the help of God. Now, we have that help in Jesus Christ. So don't get weird on that. It's like we got that. But look at what David's going through. He's just being honest about what he's going through. He also recognizes the magnitude of his sin sometimes gets overwhelming. It's like, this thing is just beating me up. I need a break here. So this is where David moves into this humble request for mercy. Do you get? So he's like, he knows this. And this is, look at, you and I, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the declaration of Jesus Christ, and through the positioning we have with Jesus Christ, there is a practicality that we can overcome anything that's set before us. But there are times when the things that we have to overcome are larger than we are used to or are commonly adjusted in fighting and going through warfare. And sometimes when it's bigger than that, you got to go, Lord, I need it, and I need it now. I need your help. I need your grace. I need you to break through. How about that? I need you to break through and help me out, because this is just, it's too much for me. I need your help. And this can be, this is in sin, but guess what? This could be in your situation. This could be in your position. You might be like going, oh, this is just too much. The only answer is in the mercy of God.
And David had a way of communicating that and writing that that just, you know, it's hard to do.
Phenomenal. I mean, he's just like, this is. But my favorite thing is, like, I can feel it on the inside. It's just, he's just like, I feel it in my bones. Like, wow. And even if that thing is just, I'm not spending enough time, whatever it is, doesn't even matter. It's something there that we need help with. That's the truth of the matter. Okay? All right. We'll answer the trivia question, and here it is. Who was Esther's uncle? And the answer is Mordecai. Mordecai. It was Mordecai, okay? So that's a pretty big element right there. So this is the first time we did it without a break. We'll just keep trying different things. We're going to exit here for those of us, for those in San Diego. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, and KBRIGHT 1240, the Christian station in San Diego. If you want to keep listening, hemustincrease.org. You can do it there. Otherwise, we'll be right back.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.